Let us bow our heads. Father, we are people of very quickly turning aside, and also of not living in a unity of the Spirit. Help us to do so for Jesus' sake, by the Lord's own power. Amen. It's Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what we're looking at today. Now, before you can look at that verse, you've got to see what's wrong. Because so many wrong views are in this, and such a hot idea they've got to hold on to. We've got to look at the verse first. Most people take this, as you'll see in a moment, but it's a wrong view. Now, why is this so difficult? I'll tell you why. Because in 1930s, Nazism was taught Nazi socialism, and it sought to rid first of all any Jews who were Christians. There were a number of pastors who were Christians. In fact, the Jews in one day killed 70 pastor Christians, and these were some of them Jews. Now, the very first thing this Nazi socialist said was, you get rid out of all your Protestant Christians, get rid of Jews. Out. And that was the very beginning of what Hitler and his gang stood up for. So, rather unclear sort of way, the people who were Christians stood up against Hitler. But it wasn't very clear. In fact, that's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer made his position, because he was clear. He was one of the very few who stood up and said they're wrong. Now, I don't take to Bonhoeffer and quite a lot what he says, but in that he was quite correct. And there were one or two other, and they were not the sort of people who you would think as very good Christians, and they stood up against it. Now, look at this business. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. Now, they change that. There is neither humanism nor female. And they will put out male and female and just put the word humanism. And if you want to see that, you'll see it in Romans chapter 2, and verse 9, where the New International Version changes quite blatantly the word man to human being. Romans 2, 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man, and it says of human being, that doeth evil, of the Jews first and also of the Greek. So that they messed up what this was about. And that is exactly what opened up all our trouble with this Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is an idea that instead of man and woman, they're talking about male and female. But Paul is talking about actual male and actual female. They're not talking about one or the other. Now, there's a man called Barnes who speaks on this, and he spoke of a Paul Jewett he knew of, I don't know a person who said, the Magna Carta of humanity is this Galatians 3:28, and it is the great belief that all Christian difficulty between men and women is removed from Romans 3:28. That's where it starts. All the other texts you look at aren't as important as that. There was another person called Christian Stendhal, and he said, called it the breakthrough text on this. He said this is the text in the whole Bible which stands us on all that's happening today on men and women. And there was a William Webb who called it a seed idea which is more dynamic and progressive social ethic than any other move of idea. It is clear that it moves the words. So it changes the word male and female to human being. Now I don't accept that. This is male and female. And that's got to be perfectly clear, because unless we get grasp of that, we're heading, like you see, everything else that's winning just into a sheer mess. We've got to be careful about it. So Paul's statements, it said, is have political and social implications, or even a revolutionary dynamism. And adds that the abolition of sex distinction in this age and in the age to come, which is called androgynism. Others say this Galatians 3:28 leads to Martin Luther King. You know, that is the belief that all human beings are perfectly one, and that I have a vision. It openly claims, I can't see how he works it out, this is how he said it, and he said that it not only leads to Martin Luther King, but it also leads to John Wesley setting up orphanages. In fact, Whitfield set up more orphanages than Wesley. But they set up orphanages, so in opposition to both slavery and women preachers, he said. And that's what Wesley was at. And implies the acceptance also of homosexuality were what Wesley and the others here all implied at. That was all said by a man called Ben Witherington III, an American. And this are well known, these verses we're talking about, and they're things to think about. Now, I cannot accept those. I don't accept it's come to humanism instead of male and female, and the reasons are very plain. But what is much more worrying to us is that the evangelical leaders in this have led into the very thing themselves. So that F.F. Bruce, who by the way is a member of the Brethren, now Bruce and Leon Morris, who was a preacher, well-known preacher in the Church of England, open up the idea of spiritual leadership in the church to the Gentiles, both slaves and women. So what they're saying both is that this very verse we're using opened up the whole idea that men and women are all one in Christ Jesus. And that I was looking myself tonight at Leon Morris. It's quite correct. That's exactly what he says. It's very difficult. Now, Bruce goes on and uses verse 27, for as man as you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, then are able for men and women to be equal the leadership in the male. I don't accept it, but you can see where this has come from. It's come right across of our evangelical traditions and evangelical leaders. So then Dunn, who always had the new perspective in his mind, says this follows Bruce's ideas. Well, I don't accept it did, but you can see the new perspective also teaches that men and women are on exactly parallel by this verse here, verse 28, and there is nothing between the two. Oh, we've got to face this. That's what we're seeing everywhere around us. Now that means something, and it means something ultimately, you will see, about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Now let us look at this too. Now the most common one made by modern writers is this statement here by a lady called Rebecca Gruthius. And she says, of all the texts supporting biblical equalities, Galatians 3, 26 to 28, we've been looking at, is probably the most important. Unlike the New Testament proof text traditionalists to support hierarchical and genderly, the text is not a specific command to direct towards a specific culture situation. Rather, it is a broadly applicable statement of the inconclusive nature of the new covenant, whereby all groups of all people, regardless of their previous religious statement under the law, have now become one in Christ. What he's teaching then is that he is saying this verse 28 is to put everybody as one together. And that's what it's teaching. Well now, is it teaching that? We need to look at it. Let's see what it means. What are we to mean for a start? Neither male nor female. This is based on gender. And are abolished, they say, because all are one in Christ Jesus. Well, that's not what the verse is saying. The word is teaching it's united, meaning in fact there are no divisions or factions. It means that we are not saying that We're not worried about divisions and that, but everybody becomes all one in one group together. But no pride, no superiority, no jealousy, no inferiority. They're just as superior. Well now what the word really means is that they are not superior because they're not against Greeks as being put inferior as Jews. Bond people, that's slaves, it doesn't mean they're inferior by free men. It doesn't mean that it's inferior of male rather than female. That we grant fully and heartily, that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ to remove this idea of superiority. We are not to have that superiority. But we're all party of one body in Christ. Now, you would have thought that is what it meant anyhow. That's what it certainly does. Now, you look at the verse, Romans chapter 12, and then your verses 4 to 5. Romans 12, 4 to 5. And this is what we're teaching, Paul is teaching. For as we have many members, bond and free, male and female, man and woman, in one body, and all members have not the same office. This is saying they do have the same office, but this says we don't have the same office. So then we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. Now look what he says about it. He doesn't say that's dissolved everything, so all are in sort of just the same for now and for eternity. Having then gifts differ according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That's what he's teaching. He's teaching that there's no superiority and no nastiness between us, but we each have our different, complete different position. Male, female, man, woman, free, bond, all the rest, they're the same. So we're all one part, what? In Christ. That's what put it is, verse 27 of Corinthians 3, baptized into Christ, having put on Christ, and that's part of it, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Everything depends on you have come into Christ, I have come into Christ, men, women, all others, all have come into Christ, whether they're slaves or whether they're freedom. They're all to come, whether they're Greeks or whether they're Jews. Jews, all have to come into Christ. So it means a body have different members, but whilst differing functions, the body has one body in Christ. That is what our verse is getting at, and we must establish that. If you don't, you'll never stand against the modern ideas that are going. So this verse is absolutely powerful and defies everything. They admit it, and we admit it. Now, these behave differently as men and women, differently as roles. It doesn't say everybody is the same. They're different. The main verse Paul is aiming at is unity. Look at verse 27 again. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. And then it goes on. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. His aim is aiming for one thing, that we're all united in Christ Jesus. And I grant that. I mean, I found Roman Catholics who had converted, who I wouldn't have dreamt with of doing things with them. In fact, I refused to go to his solemn mass when they were taken away. But the man was converted. I had no doubt in my mind. Once he's in Christ, it doesn't matter about who he is. It's very sad that he still held on to of all the Roman Catholic views, but he's converted through them. And I do, the whole men, women and all. We're converted in Christ. That's what we're teaching. Now, this is the problem that Galatians faced from the beginning. It's not just some idea that they had some other leaders who come out from here who teach in a different thing a bit, and they're all one of Christ Jesus, but better than the others because they've added the law. That's not what he's getting at. What he's getting at here is the unity of the Spirit. Now grasp that. This is what this is about, the unity of the Spirit in Christ. And unless we keep the unity of the Spirit, we're not going to get anywhere about all this one in Christ Jesus. So you see, the whole thing have gone completely astray. utterly astray. One book I read that came out of America and from a Presbyterian said the whole thing has just gone wildly astray. And it has done. They've gone on to all the talk about men and women being all one, whereas what it's talking about, Jesus is being all one. And that's not the same thing by any way, because Jesus has one body in him, and we all have different bodies. And all our different bodies do different things. We're not the same. We're just not. It's ridiculous to admit we're the same. That doesn't mean one of us are to behave ourselves as more superior or way to things. That's a different matter. We don't accept that the Christians live superior. You see, the great reason why Muslims get on in the world today is Muhammad taught that when they go to Mecca, they all put on this white robe. It's a sort of thing like a bed sheet. And they all look the same. So if you're the king of Saudi Arabia, or you're a poor woman who's brought in from West Africa, right across miles to die in Mecca, many of them do, those two are the same, according to them. I don't believe that's what makes it. It's not the same. We have the same, not by all wearing the same thing so as to go to Mecca, but by the unity of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that we're getting at too, that Paul is getting to. He's saying these people who came down into Galatia broke the unity of the Spirit, and we want it put together, and we're not going to have you put aside. We're all of us one in Christ Jesus by the Spirit. Now that is all clear. So then, the Galatians have a great division between them. They wanted to divide between who are superior Christians who believed in Jesus but also had the law as well. Now, we keep the unity of the Spirit. You see, what Paul is getting at, and it's very important, is that we have a terrible mess of spirit in our world. Look what's happened in, say Syria. Terrible people are dying because they cannot keep the unity of one idea. And they've got worse and worse. And you look anywhere else you like. Anywhere. There's all this trouble between people because there's no unity. I would say a very thin veneer of unity. I remember an officer who told me that he was caught by Rommel's army and put into a prison. And they were nicely kept. It wasn't anything like the Germans did later to them. And he said that the thing they were short of was, all of them were short of, you see, they couldn't get food across there because the British army were, navy were between them getting the foods in, and they just couldn't get enough. Everybody was short. And he said, I saw Englishmen who fought each other to get hold of food of others from the Germans, because they were all short, and they got furious with each other and fighting and trouble all the time. He said, we hardly had a meal without these things happening. I believe what's happening in our life today is very, very thin veneer. And underneath, once things go wrong on his money and money, you listen to it today, the whole thing was burst, and they have a terrible fight. Why? Because they all want money. And that's what they're at. We're not talking about that unity. We're talking about unity of the Spirit. Now, when I was talking there in a about some Christians who were put into prison because they'd been running a church, an underground church. These Chinese said that when they went into the prison, the prisoners were terribly short of money and food. They couldn't get anything and no one was allowed to give it to them. And he said, the first thing I did was, I was quite well fed compared to them, I gave all the men there part of my food and kept it. And he said, I kept it for about 3 days. I just gave it out among the other people. And he said, many of them talked to us and said, why are you like that? Why do you do that? Well, he said, the Lord Jesus will look after me and I want you to have something to eat. And he gave up this, there was a cell of about 5 or 6 of them, and he gave them the money he'd come in China. Now that's the unity I'm talking about, and that's what Christ's talking about, and that unity they're talking about here is nothing to do with fighting men and women over who should be the leadership. It's a different unity altogether. So Paul is aiming at the unity. But I am getting at something deeper than this, much deeper. Paul is aiming in this verse about meekness and gentleness. That's what he is. Now, when Paul saw the people in Galatians before they were converted, he found women were terribly treated. Children were not treated rightly. Oh, they were fed, and that's like our social services, they're all fed, but are they happy? Are they treated the same? You see, that's happening in our land today. What are we to do about this? Is what he was at, and humility and meekness is what he's get on to. Now, so he speaks of the unity who are the less of least of all saints. What does he mean, this, the less of least of all saints? Well, it's worth thinking about very carefully indeed. Paul says the only way to deal with pride, you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1, and you'll see what he said in it. 2 Corinthians 10:1, and this is what he's saying. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who am present and base among you, but being absent and bold among you, toward you, but I beseech you that you may not be bold when I'm present. What he wants to do is, although he's a powerful people, and a man who could stand his own ground and not give way, he gave way to meekness and gentleness of Christ. And that's what we're aiming in this. This is what this verse is about, not what they're teaching about today. That Paul is to preach the unity of the meekness of Christ. Now you and I, if we look at this verse today, must go home with and say, I am not a meek person. I quickly get on to things which I shouldn't do. My pride moves me. All of us have to say it. And what we have to say is, this is what Paul's teaching us. We're neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, male nor female. We're not above each other. But we're, the only way you'll ever get that to be is to be the uniqueness, the meekness of Christ. Let me explain this. This government, and every government does the same, is this. They say, I teach you the right way to go about it. I teach you that you don't lie and steal and kill everything. But what's happening? As they drop God, they're lying, stealing, killing all the time. And worse and worse and worse. Why? Because they don't have meekness or gentleness. You listen to them. They're just the opposite. But we aren't teaching people saying, or these Galatians must come along and learn us all the words that are in the law, but what we're saying is get the meekness and gentleness of Christ, not all this stuff, and you'll be all right. That's what he's getting at. Now you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 23 and 24 and you'll see it again. 2 Timothy 2, 23 and 24. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath been chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he does not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband must first be partakers of his fruits. So, beg your pardon, verse 23, I've gone verse 2. Verse 23, it's this, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gentle strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken by captive by his will. That's what Paul is at. He's trying to get to his people who've come to Galatia and say, be quiet, be gentle, be meekness, listen to what these false teachers are saying and let them change their mind in Jesus. That's what they're saying. They're not saying we're teaching all to be flat different and without any different about everybody in the world. This is the great need, and people will not agree. Now, the result is, out of this is, that men are saying men and women have no difficult differences and homosexuals have no differences. But all are just in a sort of, well, just amalgam together, no different to each other. But that's not what Paul is getting at. He's getting down on his knees before them and say, please, I beg you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, by I myself, Paul, who am meek, that you be meek like I am. And that is what we're gaming at. Well, not to say we're the greatest ones who've come from Jerusalem, the Jews, who are teaching you to be circumcised. Rather, the absolute opposite. Now, the trouble can be dealt with that we're facing in verse 28 by 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. And it's worth looking at these verses. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 Corinthians 12, 27. And here it is. Now ye are bodies of Christ, and members in particular, and God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all prophets, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all gifts of tongues, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly best gifts. Remember, you've got gifts. And remember that you've got a unity which is based in Christ, because that unity is Christ is there. So let's look at it as our very last verse, is Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verses 4 to 6. And this is what is teaching about Galatians 3:28. It says, endeavour from verse 3, look, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of all vocation, of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye called of one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto everyone is given us grace according to the measure of gift of Christ. Now, what I'm saying to you is this, that you have got to learn from Galatians 3:28 that it's unity. And that unity is based on putting ourselves down and being meekness and gentle. And remember that we followed the Lord Jesus, who was the most gentle. Even Moses was the most meek of all men, and Paul was a greatly quiet, meek, gentleness man, and you must be. Everyone. We're not loud mouth. We're not saying, I'm so powerful that I can show I'm powerful by pushing the others down and by being the great thing. That's what the unconverted think like. But we who are Christ's are Christ's quietness and gentle meekness. That's what all our Bible is about here in this passage. Amen.